Hello everyone, I hope you all are doing amazing today because we are about to announce the first year anniversary of Team Melon!
Fake enthusiasm, yay!
Let's go!
Let's go!
So, let's first cover some new epic stuff we've got this week. A few days ago, we found out that in India, Meloncast is in position 2. In the category of video games in Apple Podcasts, as well as in the 23rd position in the category of leisure. Thank you guys for listening to our interesting conversations. And also today, we've got a brand new podcast member, Luis Casino. He's an aspiring game developer and artist in our team. Thanks for joining in tonight, Casino.
Hi. Hello.
Don't be nervous. It's okay.
No, it's treated like a normal Discord call.
So now, let's begin talking about Team Melon's first year experience, and then we will move on to the main topic of our podcast, shall we?
Yes, let's start from BlackCon Pod, like BTB Jam, where you meet Torch Guy.
Yes.
And... wait, did Casino make? Yeah, Casino, you made the word game, right?
Yeah.
You submit that on your date of birth category too, as well.
So
right?
the thing is, I think part of the origin, like before the actual origin of Team Melon, we all took part in the Blackthorn Prod Game Jam number 3, right? And as far as I remember, we were the ones to join the voice call inside of the Discord server of Blackthorn Prod. And that's where we first had our initial interactions, right?
Yeah, I remember those.
They were weird and they were fun as well. There were some crazy and some fun moments as well. Very good times.
Mostly crazy, but yes.
I think I remember your logo having like a cowboy hat or something.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember Autotune, Dan?
No.
Yes.
Maybe I remember, but I remember Dan and Volverat and I were on the same call about 5 months before I actually joined the team.
Oh.
5 months.
Yeah. Oh. Wolferad was helping with the music in Torch Guy.
Yeah.
And Raiku was helping with the art.
Yes.
And then after some weeks, Brackies was taking place. And, well, from what I remembered, so I was talking with my team member, Eclipse. I was talking with him. And then at 5 p.m. IST, I believe, I joined the Blackthorn Prod VC, and I just see Dan, Conte, Casino, Wolfen just there along with Pudi. And I just told them the theme has been revealed and it's stronger together. And then Dan, I think you should speak after that.
Yes, that's when the craziest idea came to my mind. That last neuron in my brain activated and I came up with the idea to form the biggest team for that jam because it made the most sense because of the theme, right?
Biggest team in any jam, you said.
And
with
then
50 members.
Who was the one to come up with the name of Team Melon?
I think Casino. I think
yes.
Casino.
Yeah, that would be me.
That's why it's special to have
them. Always used watermelons to react to people or something.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. The creation of Separated was very chaotic.
It was chaotic. I remember sitting until 4 a.m. On the day before
last
the end of the jam. Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was crazy. No one walked the first.
Render told me a different story about the name like Team Melon name.
What?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay. I wish we had him here. I wish. Yeah, unfortunately, he's preparing for his exams, so let's all wish him luck.
Good luck, Randert.
Yes.
No one said good luck. Yes. I'm sorry.
I repeat what you said.
I agree with you. Good luck.
Good luck, Randert. Luck.
So, after making separated,
You missed the part, Dan. You never talked about the end outcome of separated. We ended up with a fun game.
Mention it briefly, how it wasn't the very best game in the jam, and it wasn't the worst. Like, it was somewhat fun. It was decent. Let's just say that.
But one memory I remember is us talking about Minecraft for hours on the second or third day in the jam.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of things.
Did we do? I feel like I did. I think I was the one primarily working on the programming.
Yeah,
I think I did. And then you guys were doing the art, and then Wolfarad was doing the music.
Honestly, I didn't do much of the art, but that's good for me.
You did have ideas, and I like that you guys prepared a list of bugs after we finished the game, but we never really updated that game.
Yeah, we never updated it.
Yeah.
Booty and I just straight up do this.
So, moving on. After releasing Separated and after getting the results from the jam, there was a big time space between the second game that we released in August.
It was
the second Becky's Game Jams appeared.
It was like Team Melon never existed at that point.
Kind of, yeah. I remember mostly we all were interacting in my Discord server.
Yeah. Well, there was a Team Melon website between the Brackeys 1 and Brackeys 2 period, but it never got worked on.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Although I think our first game turned out pretty great. Our second game was Ash, right? And that wasn't when the full Team Melon really worked together. It was just Rendered who just saw this jam called Summertorium Game Jam. And we just decided to take part in it, whoever was willing to. And
four of us. Seaweed, me, Dan, and Rendered. I got into the jam after Casino came.
Yeah.
Casino came and then left.
I still do regret leaving the team.
That's understandable.
Understandable. Another.
It was great to work on that game because it was kind of my first game where that idea of that game was in the back of my mind for a good while, and I found a gem when I was actually able to apply it, and you guys seemed to be happy with it, and
it was really fun. But when I came up with it, I think the idea was already settled on.
Something that I would like to share on about the time when we made Separated is that it was my first time when I had to make art for an entire game. I had only made one game before, and that was Silhouette game, so I didn't really do any art. But for Separated, it was everything from characters to backgrounds and the other stuff. And also invested, and it was also a pixel art game, and before that I never did pixel art. So I was so invested in making those characters, I forgot that a game has other elements to it. And I was so scared that everyone would be... Yeah. I was so scared that everyone would be pissed because the only thing I managed to do was make the characters. And I literally forgot about everything else. But then Worlds, Hoodie, and Raikou came into the clutch and they handled it.
Yeah, they handled it.
that is one thing that I really like Team Melon for. That is everything. Everyone's got your back. Like, I wouldn't expect Wolf and Pody to make art because they're main. I mean, they are mainly into sound and programming, but they still helped us.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. That's great.
Pody is really great at making tile sets.
Sorry if I'm moving too fast. It's just that we want to kind of like minimize the time for this podcast to be the duration of 1 hour.
Yeah, the last podcast was really painful to edit.
Yeah, and it was pretty damn long.
Let's continue to own the flow.
Yeah.
Dude, I was literally doing breathing exercises for comments, speak up. Okay, move on. Cut this out.
Yeah.
On the floor was very nice.
On the floor was indeed very nice. I got my manager role. I had fun making all the art.
You crunched.
I crunched on the last day, yes. Because I wanted to add the loading screens.
And I personally think the music tracks for this game were really important, and they turned out amazing. Just outright amazing.
Dan, I think by everyone in this who's listening to this podcast knows by now that On the Floor had a secret level at the end, which was like the song track was a remix of Dancing. I would like to say how we got up with that idea. So I was in another server, so a friend of mine just posted like a dancing video. Like the song with like an anime edit. So I was like, yeah, I forgot about the song. So I just like played it on my Spotify while I was working on On the Floor. And then then there was this sudden realization. This is perfect for our game. And then I just rushed it and Dan, we need to make a remix for this.
It's good that I agree.
Yes, you agreed, and we had a special level.
And it's good that Wolfarad was able to nail the remix.
It sounded amazing, even on the Halloween level, which is my favorite track of the game. It sounds so good.
Yeah, and I think team effort was more kind of like apparent this time around in On the Floor.
Yes, the team was way this time.
And shall we move on?
Wait. I'm trying to think of the thing.
Seaweed made some music for it too, didn't he?
Yes, he did, Seaweed was great. And by the way, guys, our OST for On the Floor is available on Spotify. Feel free to listen to it.
Link down below in the description.
I have this unpopular opinion. I feel like separated music was just different. Like, for some reason, I like it more than On the Floor. It just fits so well with time you change.
I think the music transitions in Separated, I thought was very
one of the good things about Separated is that transition thing.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome to make at the time.
It was perfect. It felt like we were playing Minecraft, but if Minecraft had different music for every biome.
Maybe Minecraft creators should be taking notes.
yes. I agree.
They're technically kind of different music.
Well, technically, yeah.
But for some reason, I like On the Floor's music.
I think it's just everyone's own preference. We all music to different types of music.
The music in the both of the games fucking great, dude.
Yeah, 10 on 10. There's no doubt about it. Obviously.
So, after On the Floor, there was sort of a long pause. We were happy with the result because they were better than last time. Much, much more better.
Much better.
We then settled on the idea of
most of the things quadrupled, like the results, they were
quadrupled, but they were just better, much better. So after finishing on the four, we then took on making two new games. Yeah, sure. So,
remember the spam time in Udvar? Like the review? Should we talk about it here?
No, cut this out. Cut this.
Okay.
No. Jesus Christ, Dan.
Cut this out, dude. Wait.
Fuck you.
So, after On the Four, we began thinking about working on standalone games. And we started to get more team members as we were searching for more. And we decided to work on two games, two game ideas, because, well, we had like six game ideas that people came up with in our team. And, well, we chose two most voted and liked ones. And so far, the experience was pretty rough. However, the progress was going quite steadily slow, and well, it was kind of an experience to learn, and that it's best to kind of like plan out games before actually starting to work on them. Like, one thing that we didn't do at first and we should have done really fast is make like a prototype of the base game. And that's what we've been doing now, and what we're still doing. We're experimenting with those game ideas, and it's not like we've stopped working on them. We will continue working on them. And
we have put them on pause till the new Bracky Jam ends.
Yeah, we're actually taking part in the upcoming Bracky's Game Jam, which is gonna take part in the next week from the recording date of this podcast. And we're thinking of doing a devlog this time around, and I think that would be quite interesting. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yep.
I think
I would love to make the devlog. Like,
yeah, I think we should make it, but not only like a few people, like you, Dan, me, and Owen, but I mean like everyone who takes part in the jam.
Of course, yes.
Yes. The mega, I think 11 people from our team are taking part from this for the jam. From what
still the question, but yeah, that's roughly the amount of the people who are participating. So yeah, and that's kind of like the first year kind of summarized. Of course, we probably missed out on some parts, but we hope we were able to give you an insight of what our team was able to done throughout this year. And personally, I just like to thank all of you guys. It's been a blast. It was awesome to work with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan, for always being
so best. Let's move on to the main topic of the podcast.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Sure.
No, don't
is Dan's voice lagging?
No, and don't cut over other voices. It's a pain to edit out.
It's, yeah.
Okay,
I will just begin. So the topic of today's podcast, the main one, is video games and the importance of story and characters in them. So let's start off with the first question. What's your favorite game genre?
Wait, yeah, game. Could you repeat the game?
What's your favorite game genre?
Game genre. My favorite game genre is either platformers or 3D action games, like Zelda or Mario.
Why do you prefer them?
Because they're good. Or Shovel Knight. I think you also agree with me.
I agree with you. I like platformers. Like, I really enjoy playing platformers.
Yeah, if they are well made.
Well, the ones that are well made are well made. The ones that are, of course, best selling, and that some of them are even game of the years, right?
Yeah, I think, like, if you make a platformer game, it there are so many platformer games that you have to stand out somehow. And for example, Shovel Knight, like it really stands out. Not by its graphics, like those graphics are used pretty much by every indie game developer, but I mean like game mechanics. And they like some of the game mechanics aren't even original, but they used it in a creative way. So yeah.
My favorite.
You could go ahead. Well, actually, I was going to continue off of platformers too, about the graphical, like it's interesting.
Yeah, Dan picked Wolf Home and then me.
The small stylistical differences between some of these platformers too. Like, I know you said the Shovel Knight, his graphics are like kind of common, the style. I was playing The Messenger. I don't know if any of you guys played that. Have you?
Did you mention it previously?
It's a platformer indie game.
I heard about it, yeah. And I think, actually, once Genghis told me about it, and I've seen some of its graphics, and I think the game looks really cool.
It has an interesting graphical style where it switches between 8-bit and 16-bit.
Yeah.
So much that pretty cool. But you could go on. I'll come back to this question.
Okay. My favorite game genre is gore. I honestly don't know what I prefer playing the most, but in honesty, I just like good games, and I think that's the
simulation games for you then.
What?
Well,
what did Pixel say?
I didn't hear.
Cut this.
Simulation for you then.
Simulation for me? Why though? What?
Okay,
why
is Athena. That
awkward? I personally also like roguelike and roguelites.
Okay, for the content of this podcast, could you explain what are the differences between roguelikes and roguelites?
So essentially they're both kind of the same thing, where you die, you lose your progress. However, in comparison to roguelikes, in roguelites you do have some sort of permanent progression, although the majority of the game will have temporary progression, where you will lose major progress if you lose during a game, but you will keep some of the progression. I don't know, through some items maybe. That Cells is a good example.
Yeah. Or I forgot, there was this other game, another indie game. It's a roguelite. It's like 3D Western style kind of. You play as this guy with a flaming skull. I forgot what it's called.
Is it not Ghost Rider?
Nowadays are like roguelites more than roguelikes.
My favorite roguelike is Torch Guy. Play it. Link in the description.
Mine is
I think that game still. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I said my favorite roguelike is. Or roguelite is Spelunky.
I heard about Spelunky, and I did play a bit of Spelunky, but I believe I played the classic version only. Like the one with the pixelated graphics, you know?
Yeah, I really liked the pixelated graphics, but when I played the like actual release, it felt kind of off. Like, I really liked the pixelated graphics in the classic one.
And look who we have here. We have Raikou. Hey Raikou, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing good right now.
It was quite unexpected to see you. We started off without you. Sorry. We were waiting for you, but we had to start the podcast with our schedule. So I think we could still let you in. And, well, you haven't been in this podcast before, so let me introduce you to everyone. So if you didn't know, Raiku is an aspiring game developer as well, and he does programming, music, and art in our team. Welcome to Meloncast, Raiku.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction, Dan. Sorry, I had to take care of a couple of things before I came here. So that's totally okay that came a bit late.
So we were talking about our favorite game genres. So would you like to tell us about what's your favorite game genre?
So I would say my favorite game genre is I guess action and platformer types, because it just has the type of style I'm looking for when playing it. It's like it's like the game Shovel Knight a little bit. Like, you're just progressing forward, just attacking enemies, and at the same time just moving around in the game. It is hard to explain in words, but
Pixel Dev and you, we're three of us, we like Shovel Knight, I see.
Wait, doesn't Wolfenstein also?
Yeah, and I think it's all of us, kind of.
I have not played Shovel Knight yet, actually.
What?
I'm not interested in Candy Crush. Shovel Knight Dungeon Master.
Yeah, Candy Crush, the best platform game ever. Game of the Year material.
How is that relevant, Cassie? Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. That's a new game that Yacht Games have made, and it's amazing. I've been playing it recently. Wolfenrad, did you want to add on your favorite game genres, or?
Yes. Yeah. So, I do have a lot of genres I play, but my favorite would have to be RPGs, because I like games with lots of immersion and roleplay potential. The thing I like most about RPGs, also like, I'm talking about a specific kind, like, I know there's JRPGs and action RPGs, but I like the ones where you can really create your character.
Okay. So, Casino, what are your favorite game genres?
For me, it would be survival and management games. So, like, Age of Empires and Minecraft. Games that would make me feel like a god, and I could destroy the whole scenario if I wanted to. But they're also enough to give me a check.
All right, so I think I think this is something we talked about last time, and I think we all have played Minecraft, and we could agree that it is a great game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let us move on to the next question, and that is, what makes a video game character iconic? So what are the, like, some of the iconic game characters that you guys know?
Mario, Zelda, Sonic,
Sam.
Mario's the first one that comes to mind for everyone, isn't he?
Joel, yeah, that's true. Pac-Man, Joel from The Last of Us.
Jojo.
What makes... Well, one thing I think makes characters iconic is having an iconic theme to go with them.
For example.
That is true. I mean,
character, you can probably think of a theme song to go with them that they have. Like, you know, the Super Mario Bros. Theme.
I think it's the uniqueness of how they look, like...
Simplicity.
Like, the most iconic characters that come to your mind are probably simple, like Mario, a middle-aged mustachio, Sonic, a blue hedgehog, Luigi.
I think another thing that plays a huge role is the choice of colors. Like, characters that look like normal humans with boring clothes are not really memorable, right? Well, unless they look simple and they have a different... Unless they have some sort of twist to them, right?
Me.
Right.
I feel like the characters that had an impact on you makes them more iconic. So for me, it would be... this is a different answer, but for me, it would be Queen from chess. It's from the board game. Because, like, I used to love playing chess as a kid. And every single time my queen died, it just... My internal simp died. So... I guess that's a game character.
Okay, I agree with Casino. Queen is very important in chess.
I have a friend who despises chess. He's amazing at it.
I feel like if that character is relatable to you and resonates with you, it would be iconic.
Yeah. Characters that you can remember making you happy and... You remember the good causes, I guess.
Hey, Raikou, what do you think are some of the iconic characters, and what do you think makes a character iconic in a video game?
Yeah, so I do feel you guys pretty much summed it all up. I feel it is about the color choice. It's definitely about, like, the feeling you get towards these characters, because, yeah, I did find it interesting how Sonic is actually, he's portrayed as just a hedgehog who runs really fast. Like, just that idea itself is just really fascinating to me. So, yeah, I feel you guys did sum that all up.
Like, I really wonder, how did Mario get so popular? Like, you know what Mario is, right?
Because people like middle
and tall men. It's not something you would think would get really popular. A middle-aged plumber with a red uniform, or blue uniform, with
who has an addiction to mushrooms.
Yes.
Oh, and don't forget Italian.
I said
that. Oh, wait,
Mamma mia!
Yeah, but that's really amazing. No,
I like Luigi more.
I guess voices are also something that makes a character iconic.
Chris Pratt.
Like, general presentation too, like how you first encounter the character, first impressions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like the way characters like Master Chief and Doom Guy are presented.
Yes, yes. I was just gonna say, talk about.
Also, about what Pixels have said about Mario. Another thing that contributes to that is, like, you know, Mario is a really old character, and we've seen him in a lot of games, a lot of marketing. So there's a lot of history built up behind him.
Yeah.
That also contributes to it, just a household name at this point.
Yeah, if Mario was invented today, I don't think it would get as popular. Popular as it is now.
Neither do I.
Yeah, like, gaming culture really changes along with time.
Alright, so I think it's safe to move on to the next question, and that is, what is the most important part of a game's story?
Well, I feel that the most important part is it has to flow. It needs to make sense. It needs to make sense, and I feel like it has to be like really interesting that'll just make you think, like something that you won't really expect, but it's just amazing.
So what you're talking about, Raiku, is like the culmination point. Like every story needs to have some sort of culmination point to be really good and outstanding.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much that. Because let me see. I want to try to think of an example right now. But yeah, I'll probably find one later.
Oh, I have one. Kind of like, so you're saying like the game always, for the story, you always have to be kind of moving towards some kind of goal, right? Blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If a game story makes you do something and then makes it feel like you did that for nothing, kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like, I was playing Final Fantasy 2, and I went through this whole little quest line thing to get this spell that was supposed to be really powerful, except it was really weak. So it felt like I wasted my time.
No.
Your disappointment was immeasurable and your day was ruined, am I correct?
Yes, it was.
I understand that now. And now that you just helped me think of another example as well too. I guess with Pokemon. Pretty much it's a game about just finding and catching all the Pokemon. Well, not all of them, but you know, just catching however many you can. And it's just so fun because you're just catching them and like you're just going on many, many journeys. And I feel like that plays for a really good story. Like just going around and catching just any random type of Pokemon and just seeing the fascinating how they look and everything. I feel it's just really interesting to see that.
Yeah, and another thing about that too, I don't mind like if a story is really simple. Just there's certain things that can make a story bad.
There are certain games that have like story that is just way big. Like let's talk about the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise, which has a very deep lore. A very deep lore.
Lore. I don't think it's like pretty much game theory made the lore up. And Scott Carson was like, yeah, that's correct.
Well, there's a difference between like.
There are many perspectives on this. Like, some people think that Scott Carson is a mad genius, and some people think that, well, it's probably the community, the one to come up with the story. Or maybe Scott Carson was coming up with like more parts to add to the story after each installment, which I don't even know what's the case here anymore. It's just there are so many installments of the game, like it's crazy. There are even books.
Does no one accuse him of milking the franchise?
Milking?
What do you mean?
Like making too much things out of one thing?
Well,
I don't think it's necessarily bad. Like it was something that kind of changed gaming. Like at some point, I think Final Fantasy Freddy's 3 was one of the most hyped games in like what year, whatever year it released in. Casino, what are your thoughts on what is the most important part of a game's story?
I think if a game surprises me, that would make a good story. So I remember playing GTA San Andreas, and in that your best friend betrays you. That just shook me. I trusted that guy so much as a 7-year-old, but yeah, I think that is one of those things.
I think you were quite underage to play that game.
I think I played GTA Vice City even before I was 7, so.
Casino, you will be deported to the jail.
Okay, continuing. are you guys, what are your other thoughts on what is the most important part of a game's story?
I think a story should engage you, never bore you. Because once it bores you, it's really hard to make you interested again, in my opinion. It should have a good list of characters which are good at portraying their role. Good acting can help as well. And basically a good journey which shows development of the character and a twist that takes many twists and turns and surprises the player quite often.
You know, sometimes a game might not even need a story to be good.
Yeah, if it gets my heartbeat faster, then it's a good game.
Yeah,
Pixel Dev, what do you think about...
Well, the most important part of the story in games is both the start and the end. Like, it is really unsatisfying when, like, a game story ends really badly. Like, I don't really care how this story is in the middle part, unless it's a game idea.
Wow.
But if the game ends, like, too suddenly, or the story just stops completely without, like, any information on how it ended, like, for example, Breath of the Wild 2, the only thing you get pretty much the completion mark, which disappears after you after the cutscenes. And what's up with that? Like, the completion mark, like, defeat Ganon thing, it doesn't disappear. Like, the quest is always on. You cannot... Like, what's up
I had that issue with Horizon Zero Dawn as well. The main, the mission never ends. Like, the ending mission never stops being active. You can do it anytime you want to.
Actually, like, yeah, it completes. Like, the mission thing completes in the cutscene, but it reopens after the cutscene.
Exactly, I don't like that in Horizon Zero Dawn. It rubbed me the wrong way on so many levels. I have so many issues with Horizon Zero Dawn, though.
Yeah, so going back to the thought that I just talked about. Oh, wait, Raikou, do you have anything to say?
I did want to add something else as well. I think also, I don't know if it was mentioned, I feel the art and the music also, I feel, kind of contributes to a good story as well, because, you know, they help reinforce how it reinforces a message within the story as well, in my opinion.
That's true, because art and music can carry story as well, and they can tell a story indirectly.
Yeah, and that is what you definitely said. You don't need you don't really need the story, but the art and the music could also just be self-explanatory. Yeah, I just felt I had to say that.
So going back to my previous thought about sometimes story is not always necessary in a game, let's move on to our next question, which is related to that. What do you guys look for in a game? Good plot or good gameplay?
That's a hard one.
It is a hard one.
Yeah, perhaps the combination of, like, the story and the gameplay. And of course, I know in, like, games where the story, in some games, like, the game mechanics are more important than the story. Again, for example, Breath of the Wild, the story isn't that deep, but the game mechanics are really interesting. But if the game is like a visual novel, I think the story is more important. It's like game based.
Yes, it depends on the genre. I agree. Like if a game, you know, is very action based and like online multiplayer FPS games, we can say, for example, they do not really need the story. Of course, they can have their own characters, their own worlds, but they don't need to have a, you know, full-on story. But if they do, they can, of course, make some kind of TV show adaptation, you know.
Remember the time Fortnite tried to make the story and lore for that game and miserably failed?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one cares about Fortnite. but I think I would always go with the gameplay. Just like Dan said, games can be made without any plots, but I think gameplay has to be there. It is literally called gameplay. And if you're looking for a plot, you would just rather just go watch a movie or TV show. If you're playing a game, I think a gameplay would make more sense.
What about like visual novels and like the detective games?
But that is like one topic. That is like one genre out of so many.
Yeah, but it's still a game, I think. I don't think we should dismiss the importance of the story and the importance of the gameplay. Like, it really depends on the genre and the game you are going to do. And I think like those two should be in the balance.
No, I thought we had to choose one. So in general, I would choose gameplay, but obviously both are equally important, I think.
I think like all of them, both of them are important for a solid game. But like, I think gameplay is necessary in every game. Just like Casino said, I agree with this point. And plot is also important. However, not every game needs a solid story or plot to be in it, to be good.
Also, kind of like what Pixel said too, it depends on the genre. Like, based on my expectations, I expect different things for each game based on the genre and based on past games from a series I might have played. Like, for RPGs, I expect good gameplay mechanics and a good story to go with it. For a shooter, I just expect good mechanics, good gameplay. I don't really care about the story. And maybe for more story-heavy games, I don't care about the gameplay as much. I just want to cruise through it.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at it like this, the question was which one is better, good story or good gameplay? I guess it is in the name gameplay, so that gameplay would be important because I don't want to jump into a game and then I suddenly see that the game crashed or like my controls just stop working. So
exactly,
I would say, and plus the genre sandbox, I doubt that has any plot. You're just pretty much just roaming around doing what you want, exploding buildings or something.
Minecraft has a plot, kind of, but it can be dismissed.
I won't dismiss it though. I would like to hear what the plot is for that character though. But I was just kind of giving an opinion there.
All right, could go watch.
Like, I've been playing. Okay, I've been playing Minecraft for a decade now, and the only time I've defeated the Ender Dragon is like last year. So for 10 years, I never actually cared about the whole gameplay. I just really liked building my...
Yeah.
Wait, you have been playing Minecraft for a decade. Me too.
Yeah.
Well, actually a bit over a decade, but yes. And you have only beaten Ender Dragon once.
Yeah.
I
didn't even know that the end dimension existed until I watched some Hermitcraft videos.
What?
Bro.
Now we know people just, like Casino exist.
I was just scared of the Nether.
So
I've never made it either, actually. I just build so I never.
Yeah, so I don't think story is. Well,
the Minecraft game is so good. The Minecraft game is so good that I forgot about the dragon.
Who cares? I mean.
I love the redstone aspect in Minecraft.
Redstone is also gameplay.
Wolfram, you were going to say something?
If you take a game and you remove the gameplay, then you just have a story. If you take a game and you remove the story, you still have a game. That's what I looked at.
Yeah. That's a way to think about it.
So yeah, gameplay
with what are your thoughts?
I like both of them equally because on one hand, like, you just can't have a game without gameplay. Like, you can have visual novels, but like they have to be story focused. But like in a normal game, you can't have a game without gameplay. I do like a story that is like really fun, really engaging, and I love seeing good stories unfold. But like, I would say gameplay is more necessary in the game. It's in the name. You know?
So, in conclusion, we all agree that gameplay is the most important part of any game, and plot is necessary
too.
Depends.
But the story can be more important than the gameplay in some situations.
Like in a visual novel, right?
Yes.
So, I guess that's pretty much about it. We've talked about all the questions that we planned for today. Do you guys have any other questions that you guys may want to ask, or... shall we wrap up our podcast?
When are you getting a PC?
Never.
We'll see you guys in the next podcast episode. See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.